Good to see you, Henry.
What's up, gents?
Kenneth's in as well. Second week in a row, I get to see you, Kenneth. Good to see you, man.
Day. Rob, back in Australia?
I am indeed. Gone from the nice tropical Vietnam back to the tail end of winter.
To see you, buddy.
So Henry, is this how long you've been in with the community, man?
Yeah, so this is actually week four for me. I realized, like, can everybody hear me? I just unmuted. I want to
Yeah, we're
make sure.
going.
I discovered last week that I would say 75% of the muscle intelligence emails were going to my spam folder.
Oh.
So notifications about podcasts, about these calls specifically, wasn't getting, but I got them now, so I'm
So
happy to
should
be
we
here.
just
It was one of those things where I was like, yeah, I remember them mentioning, Wednesday group calls or whatever, but like I said, I'm kind of excited to actually get part of the cohort that I was talking about kind of at the very beginning. So
fantastic, man. What have you made progress in your first 4 weeks? Have you been getting on?
it's been great. I've been working with Greg. He's my primary, my POC. Working with him has been great. We're kind of in the last week or two, probably of a deficit, and we're going to go the other direction. But overall, it's been really good.
Nice. Any wins for you in the first 3 to 4 weeks so far? Must been a take home for you.
I would say I really like the tracking system, and it's been a big reminder of whether you write it down, on a piece of paper or you have some kind of physical tracker, how easy accountability can be once it's actually kind of not just in your head. So whether that's habits or actually sticking to calorie amounts or what have you, using the momentum of writing it down and being accountable in a secondary place and motivating. It's been motivating to actually just do it naturally up in my head as well. So
Man, what have been the biggest shifts that he's applied with you so far in terms of like maybe habits or the main things you're tracking, or what has been the biggest needle for you? Do you feel that's moved you in the right direction so far?
let's see. I may have to take a second to think about that. There have been a lot of good changes, and I think the biggest, or kind of the biggest levers that we've been pushing is one of the things I've really enjoyed is proper form in the gym, kind of dumbing some things down using the actual so the forms that I've seen, or the videos that I've seen you or Ben in demonstrating proper form. That's been a nice change in pace for me, at least, where it's like, hey, we're going to reattack the process here and probably sacrifice what you saw as performance, but really try to hammer down the process and make sure that these are movements that you can do for the rest of your life, and kind of get more engrossed in like, hey, I'm enjoying just learning this in a better, more effective and safe way.
Yeah, man, it's a game changer. When you can nail that, it's an absolute game changer because you're actually challenging the muscle through the correct thing it needs to do, right? So especially if you want to build muscle, and that's where like the I think we've got a few on here that are coming to the muscle camp in October. Like that 3 days when you get there, it's an absolute game changer. Game changer. We've got quite a few signed up already, so they're going to be able to obviously say Dan will be over it with myself and Greg as well. We're gonna have a great
We're gonna have a
few days,
great
but just
base.
looking at those videos, we can then get real hands-on with you for those 3 days. We'll take specific time, but the videos obviously help for sure. Like we can lock those things in, but if you do ever get a chance to come to one of those days, like it just takes you to another level, man. So I'm glad the exercise videos are working. Yeah, make sure you jump on next week. Let us know what Greg's doing with you in more detail, and we
Yeah,
can be
absolutely.
accountable on here on these calls as well. If there's anything
Yeah,
you can
definitely.
chime in with, obviously let us know. Marty, how are you doing after last week? We had a good chat last week, man. I
Awesome
got a
chat.
few people lined up for Portugal, I think.
Yeah, bring them on. I need some new neighbors.
I think Dan's in as well. We'll all be coming.
Yeah, I guess he golfs down there. So we'll probably be in like Cascais, Lisbon area, but I've been down in the Algarve too. I guess that's where his preferred area is. And where have you been down there?
I've actually spent some time in Lisbon a little bit. I was teaching there a few years ago. It was beautiful. Portugal is beautiful.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a change of pace. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Did you unpack any more with Dan this past week in terms of like the value stuff and do you have any chats around that?
Yeah, definitely. We talked about mission actually after your call. Right afterwards, I sent him a voice message and I was like, hey, man, I really want to talk about this. I feel like I've got the values nailed down. It's a mission part. And so we chatted back and forth. And so a lot of it was around specificity. It's like, cool, you kind of know what you're doing. Like you're building this retreat center, you're building this regenerative farm, this like fitness area, this community, whatever. Like, but what does it look like? Do you see it in your brain? Like, do you actually know what color that building is? Do you know, like, oh man, no, I don't. And I need to. So, that's been a big thing that I continue to work on too, right? Like, I'm not going to get it all at once in a sit down session, but you know, I iterate over time. It's part of my meditation practice is to spend a little time afterwards to, or before to kind of like work on it. So I mean, the clearer it becomes, the more, I don't know, like all of the steps along the way just get a little easier, right? Like if it's in your head and it's the, you're driven by something else, not just, you know, your to-do list. It's like, oh,
Yeah.
my values and my mission are all lined up with these things that I'm doing. Like this, it get there, it kind of clears the way. It makes it easier. So
Well,
I
you
was
can't
really
lose.
grateful to have had that conversation.
You nail that down, you can't lose, man. You just
Yeah.
can't just find a way. So as long as if they're lined up, you win. Doesn't matter how tough it's going to be, whatever roadblocks there, they'll get cleaned out of the way because the mission's more important than anything else and the values.
Yeah, thank you.
Good, man. Thanks for sharing, brother. Okay, boys, I'm gonna hand over to Andrew. So Andrew's got a great talk coming on for you this evening. Obviously, centered around sleep and stuff. You've seen the post in the WhatsApp group. So thanks for chiming in on there, boys. We've got a few more in the house as well. So I'll be in the back end a little bit while Andrew takes over. If there's anybody else on the call that has any questions as we're going through, just open them up. We've got Austin in the back end. We've got Bill. Bjorn's in as well from Germany, I think, as well. So it's great to have you, boys. Big Daddy Matt is in the house as well. He's got his guns out again. Check him out. Here he is. Andrew, man, I'll hand over to you. But if anybody's got any questions, go through. Just let Andrew know, and we'll get them addressed for you. Okay, boys.
Good deal. Sorry, got one more coming in. I feel like I know a good majority of you. Marty, first time meeting you. Good to meet you, brother.
Good to meet you too.
Free. See Rob. There we go. Got Mike in the building. What's up, buddy? Good deal. So today, what I'm going to be talking to you guys about is some sleep things and as well, kind of the relationship with stress, right? Everybody that comes into Muscle Intelligence, one of the most common things that people are asking for or talking about, separate from burning body fat or putting on muscle, is kind of this conversation of longevity. And I feel like longevity exists at the nucleus of sleep, right? Like it's such a massive, massive, important topic that is often sacrificed. Sometimes we can't help it based on life circumstance and schedules acutely. But if anything from this conversation today is to really try to nail down like a down regulating bedtime routine and to be able to balance is not a great word, but a relationship between your nervous system, like you have complete control over it, right? In relation to your environment. Cool. Good deal. All right. I am going to pop in. We'll find out if I can see comments or not once I share screen and pull up the presentation here. My goal is not to just monotone talk to you guys and present on some slides and stuff like that. So why don't we do this before we kind of jump into that? Who here has challenges with sleep, whether if it's falling asleep or staying asleep. Okay, Kenny, John, Marty, Henry, Paul, pretty much everybody on the call. Cool. Feel free to pop off mute, or if you want to jot in just like a sentence or so, wake up a lot. Austin wakes up a lot. Okay. Let's get a couple more in the chat. Same here. No issue falling asleep, but I wake up a lot during the night. Easy to fall asleep, 3 to 4 wake ups. One of those is a bathroom break. Making time to downregulate. Good deal. Wake up sooner than I want and can't fall back asleep. So a lot of that is specific and related to cortisol. So the two things that kind of dictate sleep and wakefulness, adenosine is a chemical that accumulates as the day starts. So when you get a full night's rest and sleep, adenosine is at its lowest. And as the day starts and goes on, that tank begins to fill up, right? So that sleep hunger, that tank begins to fill until later on in the day. And ideally, set with your circadian rhythm, lights start to get dimmer naturally. There's a lot of things that we're fighting against that are unnatural, right? Being enclosed in buildings all the time, fluorescent lights, not getting outside enough, chronic stress. That creates like this overaccumulation of cortisol. Where it creates like this yin and yang between your nervous system of being parasympathetic and then being sympathetically aroused. So people lack energy, but they're still constantly kind of tired and wired. You know what I mean? Having a hard time falling asleep or having these moments of broken sleep that's happening. Either once or multiple times. Very rarely, when it comes to waking up to go to the bathroom, it's almost never related to, in some cases, drinking too much water later on in the evening. That is kind of a pretty simple solve where you can pull back your hydration later on in the day. Food should also kind of be similar if we're trying to get optimal sleep. You guys have probably heard the conversation of eat breakfast like a king, and then as the day goes on, it's kind of large, medium, small in terms of meals in general, if we can handle it that way, right? But it's this management of cortisol and stress, and it's a double-edged sword, and it starts to get kind of muddy because cortisol is not necessarily the bad guy. It's a matter of you guys need to have things in your schedule that are relieving cortisol from a overly stressful manner, right? Like you're going to have cortisol from training. That's a positive. If you're overtraining, that then turns into something different, right? So we have like this kind of back and forth and we're kind of off rhythm. And then we start to supplement with things like caffeine. And then it's ruins kind of this full cycle. You know what I mean? Copy. All right. I'm going to go into the slides here. Sorry, I'm just reading John's message. My urologist said to figure one wake up in the middle of the night per decade, starting in the 50s, 70. There's still things for all of us that we can optimize, right? Like it's society kind of glorifies like wake up and grind and like sleep doesn't really matter type of thing. The other thing when it comes to insomnia or people that claim like there's somebody that has insomnia. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but for a lot of people, they choose to put that name tag on themselves and then they kind of operate within it. And so they now claim that they're a terrible sleeper when there's things that you can implement to improve it. Okay.
How many of you guys take time to wind down in the evenings? Hands up. So just maybe in the chat if you're driving or Rob's like panting away there on his treadmill, so maybe he needs to type it or something. But let us know what you do to help yourself calm down. So like, typically, what you'll find is people take themselves out of this, and they'll do it with food, or they'll do it with television, or they'll do it with mobile phones. Hands up if you use one of those three to wind yourself down in the evenings. Yeah. It's common, man. Like it's super common. So you take a look at multiple wake ups through the night. Let's see, yeah, quite a lot of you should be slow breathing now. But if you've been with us for a while, you should be doing your slow breaths and meditation for sure. But a lot of times when people wake up multiple times through the night, Andrew's pretty spot on, man, because you'll look at the thing that's going to wake you is cortisol. So what you could have happening is something called hyperreactive glycemia, where your blood sugar drops too much through the night. And the body's response there is to bring up cortisol to bring up glucose now, because obviously the body needs energy to keep doing its functions when you sleep. So what can happen if you get a blood sugar drop, the body's going to bring cortisol up, brings blood sugar up, and then it can settle a little bit. But the problem is, if you're waking up with cortisol, you're awake, right? So that can be like that swing in and out. So straight away, that could be a sign of a little bit of metabolic flexibility or inflexibility. So that switch between glucose to fatty acids as you do that. So a good solve for that. I'm not sure whether I might piss on Andrew's presentation a little bit, but things
Oh,
like
man. Fine.
supplementing ketones before bed can be a good thing, or just using some like MCT oil before bed with a light snack. That can be a great way because the body feeds off the brain feeds off ketones as well as glucose. So if this glucose is low, but it can use ketones especially from medium chain triglycerides, the brain can feed off that too. So that can be a nice little segue where you can stay asleep a little bit for longer, right? So that could be one possibility. So I just wanted to bring that to your awareness if you weren't aware of that. And then obviously the blue light before bed is one of the biggest issues you'll see a lot with. So cutting, that's why we say no electronics 2 to 3 hours before bed if possible. That's a little bit like counterintuitive for me being at nearly 11:30 over here PM on a Wednesday. But Wednesdays, boys, you take priority there. So I'm not too I'll make up for later on in the week. Let me see.
Hey Gav, quick question for you.
Yeah.
Let's say you're doing low intensity steady state
Yep.
at the end of the day before winding down, and you drink your ketone, your exogenous ketones while you're doing low intensity steady state. Would your body, under those circumstances, then only utilize ketones as fuel, or will it still utilize fat for fuel in those moments?
Bit of both, man. It'll just take whatever's readily available at that point, to be honest. But if you just in steady state and your body's released, obviously in that low heart rate zone, and your body's used to using that fuel there, if you're tanking it back up afterwards with carbohydrate, then the body's gonna just want to use that carbohydrate up straight away. So the thing to consider is, are we bringing the resting heart rate down low enough over time where the body doesn't go into that glucose utilizing mode where the heart rate needs to come up to use that, right? So that's the whole goal of it. I'll give you an example of one client I've been doing this with recently. We had his heart rate down. So he does cardiovascular work, does strength training, just like everybody here itself, but we did his genetics. And he was actually on the call last week. And he doesn't do well. He's got his genetic predisposition for he doesn't taste fat, so he doesn't get satiated from fat, so he's more likely to overeat from fat meals, right? Which he does, right? So you'll be the first to admit that he can eat fat like very, very, very quickly, but he does have issues digestively getting that fat where he needs to take it, right? So we started supplementing with ox bile and lecithin, which are great fat emulsifiers, helps with bile flow, all of this stuff to help fat be metabolized and digested. And in the last few weeks, without really trying doing anything with cardio, we've got his heart rate down to 46 as he's sleeping. And he's had like, it's the most optimal his sleep's ever been since he's been tracking in, and he's been tracking it for years. So just looking at that, being able to utilize fatty acids at that level has allowed him to keep his heart rate lower because the body's not trying to shun glucose out anywhere. This is the way I look at it in terms of like the big picture. And he's had the best quality sleep of his life. So his body can use fats if it needs it. Does that make sense? So that was just one example of it. And we've kept his fat pretty like at a decent level. It's not too low, it's not too high, just nice and steady in the middle, just enough. And he seems to be super well with it. But in terms of it's a good question, Matt. But in terms of the amount, I think John asked for the amount of MCT. Yeah, nothing too crazy, John. Like 5 to 10 grams should be fine. Up to 15 should be good too. Like it's still a an energy source, so calories are going to come in, but it's metabolized much more like carbohydrate through the liver. So it's not as slower metabolizing as other fats, and the body has to break it down in specific ways. It's much more faster metabolizing than other fats. So it's a good one. Greg will have you sorted on that though. Ask him about that. If you're waking up multiple times, see if we can start to, or even bring in ketone packets as well. That might be a good one. Sorry, Andrew. I just
Oh, you're
took
good.
5 minutes.
You're good, man. No, it works out because I didn't include talking about, at least from a slide perspective, I didn't include supplements on this call. Like I knew that we were gonna kind of just have that conversation. But the one other thing, just kind of while we were on that topic, talking about being on your phone late, which we can all be guilty of at certain times, like you're depleting dopamine and you're inhibiting melatonin to have that natural cycle for sleep, right? So you're not going to get as restful sleep. You're not going to get into as deep of sleep. And then if you find yourself being somebody, it can create this negative feedback loop, right? Of you wake up tired, people look to grab caffeine. Caffeine inhibits adenosine, and then you have that period of like the mid-afternoon crash, right? Some people midday, and this will kind of vary depending on your schedule, right? Like if anybody has shift work or works overnights and stuff like that, let's just be transparent. If you're working overnight, it's not optimal, but that means that you have to be checking all of the other boxes, right? Anyway, let's jump into the presentation here, and then at the tail end, got a couple action items for you guys, and then we'll leave some time for any other questions that could still be relevant to the presentation or just anything in general? Okay. Trying to like fully zoom in. I guess that's okay. You guys see my screen okay? Cool. All right. Optimizing sleep in a high stress life. I guess I got to click over here. We kind of touched on this a little bit, but again, like the value of sleep, growth hormone is being released to repair muscles while you're sleeping. Super important overall for recovery, but specific to your immunity. And this has another relationship with cortisol, right? So it's not cortisol similar to cholesterol, I think is misunderstood. And so it's good in context at certain times. And then if we have an imbalance, like if we have chronically overstressed and high cortisol, that's something that we have to interject and implement something to fix the problem, not just put a band-aid over it with caffeine, right? And then cellular cleanup. Excuse me. So autophagy, a lot of people think that, purely from fasting, but autophagy is happening even while you're sleeping, of cellular repair and things that are happening while you sleep, right? This here, not sure how well you guys can see this, but this is typically more of Greg's Avenue, but I'll do my best here and just keep it simple once again. But you have daily activity, work, life stresses, things that are going on. Cellular damage is created. Both positive and negative from workouts and just everyday life. And then the repair process, right? So being able to get into deep sleep to release growth hormone, DNA is being repaired. Like I said, autophagy and your immune system is repairing itself as well, right? So some of the impacts of stress on sleep. So we've been talking about cortisol kind of this whole time. But the other thing, and there's no real tangible way that I could sit here and write enough slides that talk about just kind of the mindset piece. Like I'll stop sharing the presentation at some point, and we could talk about this a bit further because this is personally something all the coaches, but and I think even the whole community is pretty passionate about as far as mindset. Like, what does it mean to have a strong mindset? Being clear on your values, your purpose, but stressful thoughts, right? work pressure, things that are going on. I kind of use the example all the time of from past experiences or just people's perspective. You could have the same exact cue or in some case trigger for some people, and that's gonna create a different response for two different people, right? Like an example, if someone got bit by a dog when they were a kid versus, their dog was their best friend when they were little, they could take a look at a dog, and that's same exact dog, two very different responses. So every little thing, whether if it's just out in everyday life, if it's someone specific at work, that's something that does take a conscious effort to try and reframe the same way that we think about kind of climbing the mountain and conquering our workouts and stuff like that. There's going to be people that we obviously have to deal with in the world that are not our best friends, who we probably wouldn't get on these calls with all the time. And instead of being frustrated or annoyed or pissed off, of looking at as an opportunity that they're actually increasing your level of resilience and tolerance to stress, because that is a big one that isn't often talked about, right? Number two here, and this is what I was sharing earlier when it comes to like creating this negative feedback loop, right? So cortisol naturally is supposed to be released in the morning. It helps make you more alert, more focused, helps start and set your clock, your circadian rhythm. Typically and ideally, we want to be able to wake up as the sun is beginning to rise. That is when photons are at their best position to absorb light, so that we're setting our clock and then starting our day. And then we're kind of leaning into that natural energy wheel, so to speak, so that we are then able to become tired when we need to become tired later on at night, not spending hours either tired and wired or not being able to fall asleep, right? But coming back to this point, difficulty falling asleep, broken sleep, if we have like these higher levels of cortisol, which then leads to poor sleep, which creates additional stress and sensitivity to stress. And if we're not getting into deeper levels of sleep, like REM and deep sleep, it is very impactful as far as regulating your emotions, your level of focus, your ability to produce force in the gym, motor control, coordination, everything basically starts to suffer, right? And then kind of rounding it all out, that level of sensitivity can then release more cortisol, right? This would be like a summarized visual here. So you have stressful events or stressful thoughts that elevates cortisol and adrenaline. That then can create poor sleep, and that increases stress sensitivity. And then the wheel continues, right? Until either we're waiting for the weekend, and then, we're sleeping for 10 hours on one day versus, broken sleep that's happening kind of all throughout the week, and trying to have like a level of consistency each and every day to the best of our ability. Now, there's a lot more stress management tools and things outside of just what's on here. But if there's one that is going to be the most impactful and natural to focus on, it's going to be light. It's light exposure to set your circadian rhythm. So you have, I mean, I guess technically everything is chemically happening inside of your body as far as hormones and chemicals that are running through their processes, from melatonin to dopamine to all the neurotransmitters and things that are going on. But light is going to be your best friend in terms of trying to do the first thing to get the best quality sleep and set a consistent schedule for yourself. I'll unshare at a certain point, and we can kind of talk through anything that's specific to anyone or things that could be kind of outside of the norm with their schedule and things like that. But light is going to be the biggest one. Like I was saying, consistency with your schedule, and this honestly takes discipline, right? I think everybody on this call, like, we can sit here and justify after a long, hard work day or whatever's going on that we want to stay up and watch an episode or two of something on Netflix, right? But I encourage you guys to think about your sleep the same way that probably all of us think about and take pride in our training sessions, right? Like the level of detail and focus with video submissions and coaching cues and making sure that we're all moving extremely well and correct. If we were to create that same comparison for sleep, I think a lot of people are cutting their workouts short or doing a set less or a few reps less or not lifting as heavy as they could in comparison if we're trying to compare sleep to workouts, right? Dim evening lighting. This isn't going to come as news to anybody. As it relates to stress, I've found for myself, like, I have five kids, right? That comes with a level of both joy and stress. And I've found for myself that you can, if people have a smart house and things like that, at a certain amount of time, you can set it where the lights in the house begin to dim. But it's something that I can do very subtly, same time every night, start to dim the lights and naturally start to bring the amount of light that's happening inside of the house and try to get my gang and crew of family more tired and susceptible and ready to go to bed, right? So the volume on the TV goes down at a certain time, the light in the house at a certain time as well, right? So, like, these little things. And then it's the same time every night we're going to brush our teeth at the same time, and I'm doing it with them, right? Exercise and movement, you guys would already know that. And again, this can be one of those things that can confuse us sometimes, where cortisol is being released. Cortisol is being released when you're drinking coffee, when you're training, when you wake up, when someone slams on their brakes in front of you. So there's a vast variety of reasons why cortisol is being released. It's when there is a massive imbalance in one direction and you are chronically keeping the volume up on cortisol the whole time, right? So that's why you guys need to schedule something on the back half of the day, closer to bedtime, that kind of shifts you further into this parasympathetic state. And that is this the switch between, warrior and monk that we've talked about in the past. That's what we're talking about. I touched on this already. Limit caffeine. 2 p.m. for most people, 400 milligrams or less. Some people are very sensitive to caffeine. Some people can handle a lot. That part of that's related to genetics. Part of that is chronic overuse for some other people. Ideally, we want to be able to use as little as possible to reap all the benefits and effects from it, right? If you find that you're somebody that wakes up and you immediately need caffeine, or you feel like you have to have a nap, or if you have a nap and you wake up and you feel tired, that's typically a sign that you're getting poor sleep during your either full or unbroken night's sleep, that you're not getting into deep enough sleep. And therefore, when you nap, you're kicking into deeper levels of sleep. So you wake up groggy. And then, not always, but what happens sometimes, we look for the next pre-workout or whatever is nearby to kind of bring the energy back up, right? Breath work, this will come to no surprise to this crew, right? But it is, again, it's probably top two, top three of quickest ways that you can change your stressful state is through your breath. Your bedroom, keeping it cold and dark. I'm sure you guys have probably all seen different sleep hygiene things, and same thing, that's not going to come as a surprise. Some people have the eight sleep cooling mattresses and things like that. But to the best of your ability, try to keep your bedroom purely for sleeping. Don't work in your bedroom. Don't have a TV in there. If you're trying to fall asleep and you're sitting there for 30 minutes and can't fall asleep, again, it kind of goes back to that neuroplasticity conversation of if you're doing other things than just sleeping in there, then you kind of have that attachment there. And I know it kind of sounds silly, but it's true. So that's why when you hear the suggestion of, okay, if you can't fall asleep, wake up, go in another room, keep that room dark, try to do something until you reach a point where you start to feel groggy and tired, and then go back in and go to sleep. Right. And then lastly, here, create a wind down ritual. So for some people, this is going to be different for everybody. Right. And it really just kind of comes down to the honest conversation of, just truly measuring everything out of, would you rather stay up and watch the 2 episodes of Netflix? If you fall into the camp of somebody that, has maybe never got as lean as you would like to be, or has never fully 100% tracked your macros, but like things like this are consistently and constantly happening, you're leaving progress on the table, right? The last thing here, I'll kind of share these, and then I'll unshare screen, and we'll have like a further conversation. But I got 3 action items for you guys. The first one is related to your schedule. So, Mike, I know that you mentioned specifically kind of planning in certain things to kind of shift you into more of that down regulating time to get you ready for bed, right? So what time is it going to be? Like, you guys need to be specific. So what time, an hour before bed, does that routine begin for you guys? If you're somebody that definitely continues to struggle with sleep, like it needs to be scheduled and you have to follow it. Okay. Number two is to confirm you've done everything to optimize your environment for quality sleep with your coach. Certain circumstance, like if people don't have full access to super cold AC or what have you, like understandable, but doing everything that we can based on what's available. And then the third one, to bring up any ruminating stressful thoughts that's impeding your sleep with your coach. Okay, if I need to throw them in the chat, I will. I might have missed a message or two, I'm not sure. But I'll pause for a quick second. Questions, comments that come up from anybody?
So Andrew, Ken, I think mentioned about sunlight and moonlight. Is there a difference between the two? Is that what you're asking, Ken? Because they're both light, essentially.
Yeah, I'm curious. It says make the room dark, but the moonlight's out there. Does that count?
It will, as the day goes on, like I said, adenosine is filling up in terms of like that sleep hunger or sleep hurt, sleep thirst, whatever you want to call it, for us to begin to get tired when it's bedtime, right? And our retinas are very sensitive to light as the day goes on. So any impeding light. So I do encourage, like, if you're able to have blackout curtains, that's most ideal, especially if I have anybody that's first responder, nurse, they work overnights, graveyards. It's like pretty much a non-negotiable. Like, you need to have blackout curtains if you want to get quality sleep, because light is definitely a trigger to for you to mobilize for cortisol.
One
Does that
thing to
help?
consider too with light, you'll notice towards, like, if you think of the morning time when you wake up, notice the difference in light compared to the end of the day. So that if you just think about sunlight, the sun in the morning in the first half of the day is always going to be like white, bright yellow. Like the colors of the sun will always be brighter. And then you notice towards the end of the day, they're more like pinky, orange, red. So those colors tend to start allowing you to calm your nervous system down a little bit more. And they have influences on allowing melatonin and things like that to start being produced in the body. So those natural lights allow those rhythms in the body to start happening as well. But yeah, what Andrew mentioned there with the blackout, like if you're sleeping with the moonlight coming through your window, that could have an effect on light on the skin, because your skin has sensitivity to light as well. So blackout blinds are going to be key if you can. For sure. It'll be a game changer. If you've never used blackout blinds and you start using them, make the whole room like a bat cave. Like it should be a game changer for you. To help,
Yeah.
Ken? Any other questions, boys, for Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew, I have a quick question. So, at least on the East Coast of the United States, we're coming up on the segue between summer into fall. All that to say, in about a month or two, we're looking at sunrise 8 a.m., 8:30, and it's going to be dark by 4:30, 5 p.m. It getting darker earlier, maybe that's great for sleep. But one of the things I kind of think about and I try to improve is, and I'm wondering your take specifically on this. If you're getting up before the sunrise, what do you think about certain products like sunlight simulators? They're just really bright lights, right? But if you're up 5, 6, or 7, in the winter, you can be up getting up at 8 and the sun's still not up. Are there any strategies or things that you guys use, particularly in the winter, or if you're just getting up before the sun, on most days anyway?
I think if you're willing to get up and go outside, period, rain, snow, regardless of what it is, like it's going to help. It's even in comparison to, I could go off on a whole separate tangent. We just bought a new house and we had landscaping in the backyard, and 2 days in, this is Las Vegas problems. I already told Mike, but our turf started burning because of the reflection of the sun off of the windows, right? So they're more efficient at propelling the light, but that caused another problem for me, right? But as it relates to being able to receive that blue light in the morning, even if you're waking up and you're getting a ton of light driving to work, you're not getting as much as you think because the windshield and the windows are impeding a lot of that. Regardless if the sun is up yet or not, like yes, you could include things like red light if you have access to have some red light in the morning. If you live in a place that's very dark, cold, overcast, those sort of things, I would be very disciplined with my caffeine intake to make sure that I'm keeping that full natural cycle. Wait at least 90 minutes before you wake up. Allow that natural level of cortisol to kick in when you first rise. And for some people that have like really messed up, broken sleep, you might have to grind through a day or two where you don't nap. Like if you find like you always have to nap and then you're just kind of trudging through the day, you might have to grind to get yourself really tired to try to go to bed at the right time to set your schedule. Right. I know that wasn't fully your question, but does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. A quick follow-up on that would be the is your caffeine intake from 0 minutes from when you wake up to 90 minutes? Surely that's on some kind of scale. It's like if you can wait 60, that's better than waiting 15, right? Like if you can't, basically what I'm getting at is like if I'm waiting 60 minutes, am I still getting most of the benefits there, two-thirds, so to speak, of putting off that caffeine consumption?
Yeah, sometimes we're splitting hairs, right? Like we can be
Yeah,
guilty
yeah.
of like very aggressively tracking every little detail, and there is some value in that, but doing it all the time to a point where it's creating a separate level of stress is then also counterintuitive, right? So if we're checking all the boxes of I feel focused, I feel alert, my workouts are great, I'm going to bed at the right time. You might have a little bit of autonomy to play with that, right? Everyone on this call has probably had or has a different level of caffeine consumption, amongst other things, right? So that's where both kind of the rule of thumb and then you specifically both come into play.
Cool.
Sweet. Who else? See you, Mats.
I think there's a question on DSIP. Who asked the question on DSIP?
Oh, Marty.
Marty, yeah.
I'll
You
be
selling?
transparent, brother. I haven't I'm not familiar with that peptide myself. I don't know if Gav is.
So DSIP, I've used it in the past. I didn't see any benefits straight away, but I'm trialing it again now. So I didn't use, to be fair, I didn't use it for long enough. So it can help with the delta pathway in the brain. So your brain goes through like theta and delta and all these different stages in the brain. So it should hit that stage of delta, ideally when you sleep. So that's been shown to help that. It can help with oxidative stress as well. There's some study showing that it could help with muscle mass and things like that too. But I've actually gone to my fridge right now. I was going to take some tonight, knowing I was going to be on this call. So I'm going to give it a longer period, because I like to make sure if I'm going to advise, like, or not advise, but like suggest certain things that could help certain scenarios for you, especially in things like peptides. I want to see what it feels like, but I have to consider if some of those areas aren't an issue for you in your body, you might not see any of those things clear up, right? So you might be taking a peptide that you might not need that peptide for, right? So that's where I see sometimes you might like not see, for example, if your mitochondria is working well, you might not see it like a night and day response for something like MOTC. So things like that we have to be aware of too. But at a deeper cellular level, when we look at like low dosing these things, it might not be an extensive thing that you see change, but over the long term, you'll see things adapt much, much better over the long term. So that's when some of the biggest researchers in this, the Russian guy Kevinson was one of the major guys in this. He's like, the US guys are doing it all wrong. You're like high dosing all this stuff. He said you should be low dosing these things, cycling them in, cycling them out. So I tried it a little bit in the past, maybe too short. It was only a few days, but I'm going to give it a good 21 to 30 days, and I'm going to use it consistently, and I'll report back to you, Marty. Okay, but one person will be really, because who's deep in the research on this is Greg. So I know Greg's up in a couple of weeks, so I'll make sure we maybe touch on this peptide, this decent peptide for you too. We'll probably look to put a post in the WhatsApp group as well on DSEP.
Yeah,
Okay, Greg.
just another like total props to Greg. The work he's done with me and the peptides that I'm on, I mean, have really changed a lot of things for me. So I hope that everybody's talking to Greg they can, because that is he's really
Yeah.
an incredible knowledge. He's got an incredible knowledge there.
He's phenomenal. Are you using it at the minute, Marty?
Not on DSIT. No, I'm on TB500, BPC157, GHK copper, and cerebrolysin.
Nice, man. How are you finding the cerebro?
I get a little injection site irritation, but aside from that, man, my anxiety is way down. My mental clarity, my memory—it's unbelievable. Particularly that one. My inflammation is down a lot too. I think that probably has to do with the glow stack side of things. But yeah, it's been a huge game changer for me. So I love this kind of biohacky type of stuff. So I'm all about like, I'll try it, so I'm really curious to see how DSIP does for you and any other suggestions along the way.
Yeah, the cerebrolysin has been a game changer, man. Like, I've been using it for a while. Obviously that type of peptide can start to help the neural connections in the brain, the neurons and stuff, like renew those, regenerate them. When I use it, the clarity in the brain and the focus is phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I
But
have the APOE44 gene as well, so we're doing a lot of work around that, and so yeah, that was just another one that came up. So anybody has questions, I can give you my point of view too along the way in the WhatsApp group.
good for you, man. Good for you, man.
Thanks. Love it. John.
John.
So my problem is I'm a musician, which means I have evenings when I get home late because I have rehearsals or concerts, and I'm often traveling an hour to two afterwards. And those are the nights I get my worst sleep, because when I get to sleep earlier, my sleep quality is better. And I don't think there's anything you can do about that.
So time-wise, what does it look like, John, in comparison, like a regular day versus?
So I'm getting to bed potentially 2 hours later than I might on a normal night. It's and then I'm waking up at the same time,
Because you have to or you want to?
because my body just does it.
That's good, man. 2 hours is a bit, it can be a bit of a shift, to be honest. Andrew, would you have any like suggestions in terms of like what are you doing at the minute, John, in terms of that? Like, when you do go to bed have to go to bed 2 hours later, are you doing anything specifically before that? How'd you feel the next
I'm
day?
driving, so I have the stress of driving and on city roads, and then I get home, and then the other problem is that sometimes when I'm doing my eating before I leave for the rehearsal, Then I have munchies that are hard to control sometimes.
That's yeah, that could be a common effect after a rehearsal or especially a night on the stage, I suppose.
But I mean, I do my best not to succumb.
Yeah, of
But
course.
the urge is worse. The snack urge is worse on those nights when I get home, 11:30, midnight.
Have you tried any melatonin when you get home?
I'm taking 6 to 7 melatonin capsules before I go to sleep. It's part of my regular routine.
That's normal every day, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you tried the liquid?
Liquid melatonin, no.
How do you feel with the capsules?
I think they might help me fall asleep. I do that with magnesium. It's just it's one of those things that I know that like my Garmin watch says that my sleep quality is worse on those nights when I get to bed later.
Yeah, sure. I'm just trying to think of how, like a little stack that we could potentially do just to calm you a little bit more, right? So I find liquids helps more in terms of melatonin. So if you can do a sub
Okay.
and just hold it in the tongue a bit longer so it just absorbs in a little bit better than the capsules. L-theanine can be great as well to just to calm your, not saying anxiety by any means, but it just calms your nervous system down really, really well.
Okay.
L-theanine can do that. How much magnesium are you taking?
Probably Greg told me to up it so it's like 50 to 60. It's like 10 milligram capsules, and I take 5 to 6 of them.
10 milligrams or 100 milligrams?
Let me go check.
Yeah, it might be 100, man. So if it's 50 to 60, I'd say take about 100 of them. Get that up. Crank that up, man. Yeah, I find liquid melatonin just w hits way better, works faster, gets in the system way better.
They're 10 milligram fast dissolve tablets.
So again, 10 milligram.
Fast dissolve.
Oh, melatonin. I thought you meant magnesium then.
No,
Melatonin.
magnesium I do is a powder and a drink.
Okay. Yeah, just looking at how much dose magnesium you're doing, John. Sorry, what's Austin saying there?
Can you come off mute, Austin? There he is.
Can you
It's
see me? I'm getting 400 milligrams.
400 milligrams, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, could confirm this with Greg, right? But to be honest, I'd probably up that a little bit more, man. Maybe about 600 to 800 milligrams.
Okay,
That
I'll
might
check with him.
help. Did he get you to do genetics yet?
We've talked about genetics for the last 2 weeks. He's working on adopting the genetics into a future program. But
Perfect.
we've talked about what the genetics show.
Perfect. So once he runs that, like maybe just up the dose of magnesium a little touch. Try
And my
maybe.
sleep genes are pretty good overall in terms of what it showed up in genetics.
Okay. Did you have anything on the COMT pathway or MAO?
On the what?
COMT pathway or MAO?
Is that for sleep?
Well, it's not so much for sleep, but it's two pathways that help you metabolize cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline, right? So if you're a worrier on
I
the
did show up as a worrier.
Yeah, okay, now we're talking. So do you feel like more wired when you're on stage? Do you get like a good adrenaline rush and you feel good when you're up there?
I think I've played for decades, so I get this kind of like focus
Yeah.
that you learn how to focus the energy into performance.
Yeah, of course, man. Where do you think that focus comes from? It's from adrenaline, right? So when you go on stage and in front of people, like your adrenaline's going to go up. Cortisol is going to be mobilized. Adrenaline's going to go up. Potentially a bit of noradrenaline as well. But if you're a worrier, and it'd be interesting to see the MAO side of things as well. If you've got both of those pathways that are slow, so if you're a worrier, you would be have a slow pathway for COMT, COMT. That means your adrenaline, noradrenaline, cortisol hang around for longer. So you're going to be more wired after those types of things before you get to bed, especially later at night, right? So that's why melatonin could help you induce that sleep a little bit more, but taking things like L-theanine can help bring that down. Maybe something like phosphatidylserine might be a good one because that'll dampen cortisol very, very fast. So that might just support the system. But the one thing that really helps that COMT pathway, the COMT pathway, is magnesium. You need that as a cofactor. So you want to up that magnesium for sure on those nights.
Okay, I could do that.
Go ahead,
All
Austin.
right. I thought you guys were talking about melatonin earlier. I was going to ask your thoughts. Like I said, I have so many friends that say they can't sleep without it. It helps put them to sleep. I had one friend accidentally take it in the middle of the day. He's like, I'm going to fall asleep now. I've experienced or experiments with low amounts to high amounts. I feel zero sedative effects of it. And I just believe that does not help put you to sleep at all. But it might help set your circadian rhythm if you take it the same time every day and set a schedule. But I don't think it's a sedative, even though a lot of my friends would die on that hill.
No, some of them will, man, but some of them get the response for certain people are so different. Like that's why it's so very selective. Like I would have a different amount needed compared to Andrew, right? So it could be totally different. Some people get zero effect. I think there could be an oxidative stress component to that as well, because you have to remember it's a very huge antioxidant. So the way my mind works, I'm like, well, if it's a little amount, a higher amount, whatever it is, and that's combating oxidative stress as well, it might not actually be getting to the part of the brain that you want it to. So things like that might be at play too, because it might be going to the oxidative stress component. So even if you don't take it for sleep, I've used it with a lot of recommended to a lot of clients with oxidative stress issues too, where it's like very low dose, 1 milligram a day. Like, and they're just taking that as an antioxidant because it is a hormone too, so you have to be careful. But towards the middle of the day or the end of the day, I've had some people take it throughout the day as well, and had no effect on their system to fall asleep. It was just like a real good antioxidant for them. They found so much benefits from it. It's one of the best anti-cancer antioxidants that you'll ever see. It's phenomenal.
I wasn't aware of that part of it. Maybe I'll work it in then.
Yeah, and it's not to say that it's going to work for you for sleep, but maybe using it consistently over time, maybe like me with the D-SIP, I might have to you give D-SIP a little bit longer, but just finding that sweet spot. Just finding
Yeah,
the
I
sweet
was liking to make a measurable impact, but it was anti-cancer antioxidant, and that helps. What I found that helps me the most is I have trouble getting to sleep, and then I have trouble staying asleep. As far as getting asleep, the routine changes, like turning off the lights, not Netflix, read a book in bed, keep a cold room. But as far as supplements, I found like GABA, ashwagandha, L-theanine, and magnesium, my favorites, 3 and 8. I think it's less studied. Greg likes glycinate, but those things kind of help reduce the racing thoughts and calm me. But then you were talking earlier about waking up in the middle of the night with blood sugar drops. I think that's a big issue with me, especially when we were cutting it got to the point that I was practically like sleepwalking. My blood sugar dropped a couple times a night. I would search for my girlfriend's candy or whoever she had a candy bar, and the kitchen would be destroyed because she knew to hide it from me. And I wouldn't remember if the next morning we'd wake up and all the cabinets and drawers are open. I'd have no memory. So I've been doing like a little bit of MCT oil with like honey before bed, just something to try and keep the blood sugar stable.
How do you find it with the honey? Honey's a good one.
I realized I was just craving like high glycemic stuff, like straight candy. So I figured the healthiest, alternative would be honey. We usually keep it in the house.
Yeah, the good thing about honey, it'll be utilized in the liver first. So if you're, because your body's not contracting muscle when you sleep, so the first place it's going to go is the liver. So it's a real good one to use, honey, if you're struggling with that hypoglycemia before bed. Not tons of it, but just like teaspoon should be fine enough just to keep that glucose effective, That's
Thank you.
good shout. I don't know whether you can actually get it yet. The hands down the best sleep supplement I've ever had in my life. I tried it before and then I don't know whether they just stopped making it or not, but Ben gave me one. Obviously Ben's got everything under the sun in his cabinet. And he gave me a capsule of Phenibut. I don't know if you've heard of Phenibut.
I've heard of it.
Man, like I got on the
Not a
plane.
long time, though. It's PH, right?
Yeah,
PHENIBUT.
that's the one. We're bound to be able to get it. So I hadn't taken it for years, and he gave me a capsule. I was traveling back on an overnight flight from Toronto to the UK, and we were in the queuing up to get on the plane. I was with Greg, and I took the capsule before I got on the flight, and I sat down and led this guy in beside me. So I got up, sat down, I led back, and I was gone, and I woke up in the UK.
That's
Nothing.
true.
I just woke up in the UK. I was gone out. That's the best sleep supplement I've ever had in my life. So if you can get hands on Phenibut, that might be a good way to do that. But then also
Okay.
while
Looks like it's a GABA derivative. So same
it is.
receptors. I'll look for that. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Cool. So we got Austin on GABA. We're looking at D-SIP. We got John cranking up his magnesium and his phosphatidylserine after his rehearsals and his shows. I think we cracked the code tonight, Andrew.
Love it. Good to see you guys. I appreciate the questions.
Boys, two things before I leave or before we wrap up. Number one, I think Matt's dropped maybe a link in the comments. Yeah, I think he dropped the link for the if anybody wants to chat to him about any tickets for the Muscle Camp, his email is in the comments there. Obviously, if you need any questions on the Muscle Camp coming up in Tampa at MI40, we'll be there October 3rd to 5th. Drop in the WhatsApp group as well. Reach out to myself, Matt, any of the boys in there if you're interested in coming along. Henry might be a good one for you if you're enjoying the videos. If you can make it, if you make that date, it'll be phenomenal to have you there. You'll take a lot away from those 3 days for sure. And just to highlight this week, we're going to be starting something as a team. The whole group, we're going to assign Saturday challenge workouts to everybody. Now, they're not mandatory, so you don't have to do them, but we want you all to start participating and doing something as a community. They're going to be time-based workouts, pretty a little bit metabolic here and there. They're not going to be super, super long. We're talking like 12 to 20 minutes for the most part. But just once you've done that, it'll all be on your Everfit app. So the coaches will go in this week before Saturday, assign the workouts to you. There'll be one every Saturday. It won't be the same workouts. It'll be mixed up. There's going to be some fun coming, but typically you're going to need cardio kit if you have them. If you don't, it'll be things like jump rope and things like that. But like dumbbells, body weights, done. There might be some testing coming in as well, like the mass test, the Concept 2, 2K row, things like that. So if you, we'll let you know ahead of time when that's coming. So if you want to do that in a gym, you can do that. But along the way, we're going to be testing you on some conditioning stuff too. But also the challenge workouts are there to challenge you in different positions, challenge the metabolic system a little bit more, but also give each other a big high five and that's on that Saturday and push each other. Big selfies in the WhatsApp group, post your time, give everybody a high five type of thing. It's going to be a good bit of fun, you know? So we might even get Ben involved in this. I think this is, yes, Austin's in as well. Where is he? Yeah, man. They'll be in from Saturday for sure. So, boys, look out for that this week. Any questions on it, let us know. We'll look forward to seeing some of those selfies and the workout times on Saturday in the WhatsApp group, okay? Andrew, thanks so much for your time this evening, brother. Great presentation as always. Good to see you all, boys. Have fun. Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you next week, boys.
Bye, fellas.
Bye.
Thanks, Kev.
Thanks, man.